Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
So here we are, parish council meeting, 4th of June, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Can we take the announcement that Janice used to make at the beginning as read? About being nice to each other? Thank you. Members of the public are welcome. I'm 6 tired already. What have you done for me?
Hang on. Oh, I can help here. I can help. There you go.
You would think we hadn't talked all week.
So you've done your opening remarks.
I've done the opening remarks.
Shall I do some apologies and approvals of absences?
That would be a good idea.
I'll do that. So, councillors Morford, Mitchell, Ranzetta and Faulkner have sent their apologies and no absences require approval.
Okay. Thank you. Do we have any declarations of interest this evening?
I have received no updates from councillors concerning their register of interests. Councillors have 28 days to lodge any changes. I wrote to all councillors some weeks ago asking if they wish to renew their dispensations, and I've received the following requests and I've agreed them. And that's councillors Lamont and Faulkner to speak and vote on Water Street, as long as it doesn't relate to their disclosable pecuniary interests. Councillor Sherman to do the same, to speak and vote on matters concerning Spring Street, as long as it doesn't relate to his disclosable interests. And Councillor Muckian to speak and vote on matters concerning Bears Lane, as long as it doesn't relate to her disclosable pecuniary interest. I'm anticipating that councillors will need to leave the room for item 16. And my last thing on this issue is, do any councillors wish to declare any interest in tonight's agenda, of which I'm not aware, or wish to tell me about any changes to their interest? Nope, I think we're through that.
Lovely.
So we can whack on to the next item.
Sorry. Can we approve the minutes of the previous meeting of the 14th of May 2026?
I should tell people that I've received two requests for corrections since the minutes were published. Both are not significant and I have made them. The first related to Councillor Ranzetta. In the draft minutes she appeared to both second and abstain on a vote. That's not my finest moment. What a surprise, she did second it, and then she voted for it, and therefore she didn't abstain. Not my finest moment, as I say. The second relates to the draft minutes stated that Councillor Muckian volunteered to chair an item. In fact, what happened is Councillor Mitchell suggested that Councillor Muckian chair an item, and then a vote was held, and Councillor Muckian accepted the nomination. But to say she volunteered isn't right. So it's been amended for that correction. Other than that, I have not had any comments.
So could I have an approval? Michael. And a seconder? Ian. And can you all show a hand?
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry?
Show of hands, approval?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Sorry?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
So that was unanimous. Thank you all.
Right, so we've now got a public participation session. Have we got any?
Have we got a public participation? No, we haven't. We've got the chair's announcements.
Oh, I beg your pardon. I'm getting all out of kilter here. Please forgive me. Chair's announcement.
And they are...
I've got ahead of myself there. So, right, I attended the site of the recent fire in Spring Street to offer support to those affected. I was able to contact Councillor Mabry, and between us we made sure the residents affected were accommodated that evening, and we also worked with Avon District Council, Suffolk County Council, to ensure the site was made secure after the fire was put out, because it was getting to 5 o'clock and workmen were going home, I have to say, and it was like, no, get out of here. I'd like to give thanks to the fire crews of Long Melford, Sudbury and Bury St Edmunds, who were excellent in their handling of the situation, Suffolk Police, the Ambulance Service, Caden, UK Power Network and the local community for their support during and after the incident to the residents. I am also told local resident Paul Cumbers intervened to try and make sure that the residents were okay, and I very much thank him for his selfless efforts. I understand there was some concern about fire hydrants, and Councillor Lindsay has raised this with the Chief Fire Officer, and we wait to hear their report. A collection box has been set up at the top co-op, and if anyone would like to donate to help the residents once they have been reaccommodated, please do. It was very hot, but also a sad afternoon, as the two ladies lost their homes and one of the ladies also lost her cat, and another resident who had to move out because of smoke in his building. But I couldn't help feel very proud of our community, who all pulled together to help in their hour of need. Other things we've done. The clerk and I have met with the Highways Department regarding Brent Ely Road, and we'll report later on this meeting what the findings were and the possible solutions to alleviate any safety concerns. I have met with the clerk and carried out some general housekeeping in the village, and he will report on that in his section. Thank you. Now we'll go to public participation.
Shall we ask first whether anyone wants to speak before you give your little...
Mr Asper
certainly wants to speak,
okay.
So therefore we're there.
Right.
Do you want to explain that people have 3 minutes, etc., or should we take that as read?
Can you do in 3 minutes, Mr Asper?
I have, sir. I'll try.
He's well practised.
I support the proposal for dog exercise fields in Netherland, but not on Park Road. There is an alternative. Robert Rush also owns the fields on the far side of the bridge on Bridge Street Road, and we understand from him that this would be an option for the dog exercise fields. Park Road is unquestionably Netherland's most attractive rural lane, valued year-round by dog walkers, families with young children, older residents, organised walking groups and those with limited mobility. Its quiet, pastoral character is a defining feature of the village's wider setting, and it is integral to the well-being of many residents who rely on it for safe, peaceful recreation. Introducing a dog exercise field in this location would be fundamentally altering that character. The associated significant increase in vehicle movements, noise activity and general disturbance would erode the tranquility that makes Park Road so important to the community and would materially diminish the enjoyment of all who use it. The dog exercise field plan. After each visit of 50 minutes, there would be 20 minutes for up to a maximum of 4 cars to leave and 4 to arrive. In theory, that seems fine, until one looks at access to the dog exercise field on Park Road. Park Road is a narrow lane with a blind end, no daylight to accommodate passing cars, a possible 4 cars leaving and 4 arriving, and many casual walkers. Paul Road from the High Street to Park Road is double width, but always lined with parked cars. Moving into the High Street is often obscured by delivery vans and parked cars scattered on either side of the road. The church end of Hall Road, formerly Cotton Lane, is single lane and is possibly the best route to the dog exercise field, but again lined with parked cars. Given the access problems, it is inevitable that opposing vehicle movements would eventually lead to destroyed glass verges and traffic logjams. Bad for local businesses, residents and pedestrians. In contrast, Bridge Street Road, which offers a possible alternative site, suffers from none of these problems, and I therefore urge the Parish Council to reject the dog exercise field Park Road. You should also note that we've asked Transport Planning to reassess their comments as they failed to address the problems of access to and from Hall Road at both Church Street and the High Street, and concentrated only on the immediate site access. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Thank you, Ms. Strasser. So we've got any questions? Nope. Okay. Local authority councillors report. So Robert, you've got a lot. Have you got to go elsewhere?
I haven't got to go elsewhere. But you put Paul's up, so I don't mind if Paul goes first.
I didn't know he put Paul's up. I was looking at people, not looking at...
You're on. I'll try not to just read it aloud, because isn't particularly helpful. Maybe it is helpful for people who can't see it. But obviously... We've had the meeting and my report from before about the elections, how it went and how it got before control of county council. Michael Hadwin, who was a full council from Felixstowe, was elected as member at that meeting, and he supported his cabinet, which is all, because they have majority, it's all reform. Cabinet, Greens are the largest, second largest group of reform, because we increased our seats, and Greens have formed an official opposition group, and I've been going to charge of highway transport, but I'm not in charge of highways and transport, I'm an opposition spokesperson for highway transport. So I hasten to add that because I can't actually have any control over highway transport. There's a sort of Ukraine theme to that meeting because we, our group, tabled the motion because a lot of the leaflets from the forum, not just in Suffolk but all over East Anglia, actually talked about the waste of money being spent on translation services on people who are refusing to integrate. And when you look at the translation services that are actually spent on in Suffolk, it's spent on the Homes for Ukraine scheme, which was launched when Russia invaded Ukraine to look after families of thousands came to Suffolk and the university. And it's also spent on unaccompanied children who are seeking refuge and sign language for the deaf. We thought it was a bit egregious to accuse these people of refusing to integrate. So our motion is simply that the support of the translation services and reform voted that down. And then subsequent to that, they taken down the Ukrainian flag and put from their headquarters in Ipswich and put out the St. George Cross. That flag went up, of course, in solidarity with Ukraine when Russia invaded. And the council leader was criticised at that meeting for some years ago after the source of reporting saying that Russia wasn't our enemy. The local government reorganisation, I think I said at our last meeting that before we said that we're threatening legal action on the government's decision to have three directories. Since then, they have now. I think I sent you last month's. They have sent a pre letter now to the government, and say a pre action letter, which asks the government to explain their decision, and they say if their explanation isn't satisfactory to them, then they'll launch a judicial review. I'm pretty sure that the government will have a satisfactory explanation. So I hope reform don't waste lots of taxpayers' money on pursuing this. We shall see. The Yeah, there's been some stuff about that this special education needs has been an issue for the county for more than a couple of years now, and they've first failed an inspection. And there was a sort of follow-up inspection recently which said that they had improved in the backlog of plans for children in the had been, you know, AHCP, education, health plans had been cleared, but there's still a problem with communication with parents of same children and same families, and between the various agencies, schools, social care, NHS. And there's also, on top of all that, they've got a restructuring the department to there's been the restructuring department which makes some jobs concern, and there's been a rash of staff sickness, and they've had to put it into business continuity, which means they've just cut back on everything except the life of work. But that's apparently only temporary, and they'll sort it out within a fortnight. I've talked about the images and legal challenge. The other thing, after the meeting, reforms said they'll review all actions taken as part of the climate emergency. I think I put in an earlier report that the county council have actually saved themselves 4.8 million costs a year of the decisions they've been to cut on the consumption of energy in all their buildings and various other measures of petrol and diesel and the like. So actually the evidence is already there. It's reviewed every year anyway, and the evidence shows that it's 4.8 million savings. So quite what they had to achieve by reviewing it, and it's already reviewed, I don't know. But it does seem to be that they're doing the same cost reform now for Chelsea, Norfolk and Essex, and it seems that they're all doing the same thing in the three counties, so it seems to be something that the reform are driving. Yes, I wasn't aware of the fire until you drew it to my attention with the thing about fire management. So I'm still waiting. John Lacey, the fire chief, wrote back and said, thank you, Robert, I'm on it. But I haven't yet heard that. He's going to investigate, so we'll see what that was. But we've only got someone's word for it that our hydrant wasn't accessible, but I mean, I don't even know if that's right. Or yeah,
it was something that was said at the site.
Yeah, so I think this
we raised it because
it's worth raising. But we'll see if it is anything. Yeah. It might be something.
Point of information: when I came down Spring Street, the fire brigade had a hose which went from the art gallery down to the site of the fire. So that may be what they're talking about. There might have been a closer point of the fire brigade connection.
Okay, thanks for that.
It was quite striking. It's a very long hose.
Yeah.
Sorry, can I just put in the fire brigade had connected a looking down Spring Street. And then they all have to
Oh, that's good. So, yeah.
Do you know that the fire hydrant instances?
It says one right outside that. Number 38.
Yeah. The placards on the lamp posts probably thought they couldn't see.
Yeah, they can get a water for all accounts.
I recall a few years ago there being a query in one of these meetings about the lack of testing on fire hydrants across the village. I don't know if that was ever addressed.
Did you hear what
I haven't heard that. No, I don't recall that at all.
Maybe on the installation response, well, it depends on what his response is.
all hydrants worked perfectly, then that would change matters slightly. But if he says actually we found a duct one, then Janice's point is test and something comes into view.
We'll pursue that as an investigation with John Rosie at some point then. Thank you.
Right, okay. You put mine up. Yeah, so but this is obviously about the farm, and Council maybe she's not here tonight, but I as the chair said, she was on site for quite a while. It's a real relief, I think, that no one was serious, although no one wanted to go through that experience, because especially when it means it just throws the complete life up in the air. So the latest I've got from Maine Council is that the residents' welfare is being monitored where necessary, and ongoing support will be provided. And that's not just the ones that are directly affected, but anyone around the area as well. What we can see is that at the moment, all the residents affected are living with family and friends. Labour will look at the various options, which will include temporary accommodation, return to the property subject to work, and it being safe, particularly the house where that fire started being safe, and permanently housing options. So for the property that becomes stable from the fire, the immediate repair time are 3 to 4 months. For the one next door, that's 2.5 months, and then the one that the smoke affected, that's 2 to 3 weeks. But these are timelines that are only kick in once the loss of cluster has been visited, which I think he has now, and the agreement on the works has been made. So that's where we are, and in particular, I'd like to say, you know, to the community, I think that really round, and I understand the heats were also played a part in distribution water droplets and whatever, and I'm sure others were involved. So I think well done to people to coming together there to bring what was a nasty situation but could have been worse. So well done to everyone. Better recycling, I'm sure you're all very excited that better recycling started this week with the Blackburn Collection and Separate Food Waste Caddy. It was interesting where I live in Chilton. There were a lot of black bins out, but there weren't many food caddies, I have to say, but maybe this will take a while to kick in. I think it is a big change, and I think it's taken a while for people to understand what goes where. And as you can see here, although we've all hopefully got the literature now, and you've got your bins, that does explain what goes where. I mean, one thing that I couldn't work out, and I must ask this question, is that with tissues, it used to be that with tissues, the tissue paper or whatever, it couldn't go in with paper and cards in the recycling. But I'm still not sure what one does with tissues, so I'll find out on that and get you know. So, yeah, moving on to LGR, if we just move up here. Implementation board has been set up. All Suffolk Councils will jointly lead the change to a second day, which will happen on the 1st of April 2028. So that's actually when Labour and Suffolk County Council stop and the new community authorities come in to being. Three joint councils, one for each community authority, have been set up to work alongside the implementation board to aid transition. So these joint committees, what they're there is to say, right, what are we doing now? How can we all work together to set it up so that when we have the elections for the new unitary councillors in May 27th, we can hand over to them and they can take it on. And as you can see, there's a new website that's been set up titled Future Suffolk, and that has all the details of all the data, how it works, and what's involved. A few other smaller things. The community awards. So nominations are now open for any individual group. This made a real difference to community life in 2016. So to do so, visit the Suffolk Community Awards website, and again, you know, the Avenue Farm might influence people's hearing talk there. Heating oil, as we know, since this Middle East problem, those households on low income and have heating oil have been very difficult to manage their budgets. So there is support available to residents, including the Crisis and Resilience Fund, and there'll be a website within Mabor, sorry, I should have put it on there, but there'll be a website within Mabor that steers people to how they can get more support. And then we've got Suffolk Day, which has been celebrated in Bury St Edmunds this year on the 21st of June, it's a Sunday, and there'll be a day of food, heritage and music events taking place at multiple sites all across the city. So that should be a good day out if anyone feels like celebrating Suffolk. And that's it, I think. It is, yeah. Any questions on that?
First of all, one for Robert. Congratulations, Robert. I don't know if you say anything about winning the election. I think probably the majority was a little bit lower, but you still been able to post that as well. Have you got any answers on these diabetic things that you said you'd come back to us on?
I thought I had. Did I not pass it on to you?
Yes. So the answer is that, and I passed it on to councillors as well, it's a bit odd, but the only place you can get rid of these items is in the small electrical bins, which are at both Sudbury and Hadley.
Well, they're going to let us put medical things in there,
is it the lithium battery?
The lithium battery device. Pardon?
But
the instructions were that any, as I remember it, you contradict me, anything with a lithium battery, you can't take it to say the co-op because it's a device.
Yeah.
You can't stick it in your bins at home.
No.
There aren't any bins in the car park.
Yeah.
The only place you can take it to is Sudbury or Hadley.
That's correct. Any Suffolk Recycling will have that facility for a sealed unit that lithium batteries, toothbrushes, diabetes.
So the council is hoping you to take a disc that big,
sorry?
Twice a month to the recycling that they need. Take a size of a 20
talking the things
that's the advice I've got. I'm sorry, Councillor.
It's absolutely ridiculous. Isn't it?
Yeah, but that's the advice I've got. There are, because we know the problems with them, and of course, we did have a pink unit there, but because of the danger, that's why it has to be, controlled. So, I don't know if you know, I'm not suggesting that you should make it through every time one month out, but maybe, you know, once in a while.
Yeah.
Isn't that just putting more cars on the road? Because people have got a drive to Hadley and Sudbury just to get into their battery. Shouldn't the council be doing something locally so people don't have to drive? Because you've heard other people say that we want to cut down on the traffic on the roads.
Yeah.
You're encouraging
that to be right.
You're increasing it.
Yeah. So I'm not interrupting you, but that's the point of the pink recycling electrical bins, and now they've found a problem with that. So they've gone back to square one. Whether it was, I mean, I can certainly lobby on that and say, because it came up. Funny enough, Cockfield made exactly the same points you're making. And people with mobility issues, and we understand that. But it's only Suffolk recycling centres. They're the only ones that have facilities to be able to deal with it at the moment.
So it's from the lithium batteries. If you store a big pile of them, you do risk them catching fire.
Absolutely.
So if they were saying, I'll collect them all up, they're going to put them in a tin, like a button tin, aren't they?
Yeah. No, you shouldn't. That's the problem. And it's the problem in the bin lorries as well. Once they get the bin lorries, that can happen. So there is not, I mean, the best thing is not to put them all together, but I do accept the point that this business of, and then you've got to make a single trip to a recycling centre, which might be, you know, a matter of, I don't know, it could be as much as 50 miles long. But I will follow that up. Frank.
May I make a comment on the fire at Spring Street? the site of the fire is across the path from my house, and one of the comments that was made by one of the fire service people was the speed with which the roof caught fire, because those timbers have been in there for the last 50 years and they are dry as tinder. Once the roof caught, they burned through and the roof collapsed.
Yes.
So this highlights the speed that you've got to get people out. Because people were going out two doors, front door, back door, you have confusion about how many people have been got out and whether there's anybody still left in there. It would be useful to have a reminder from the fire brigade about keeping fire and smoke alarms tested, and knowing what your evacuation plan is in the middle of the night if you have an electrical device that decides to spontaneously ignite a fire. So the speed of evacuation and being able to check that you've got everybody out.
And the lighting is...
Because if the roof comes down, you are burglars. More sense than one.
Frank, I'm presuming that you may know that the fire smoke alarms were activated.
No, they were. They were because they went off for ages.
So in council buildings, anything owned by the local authority, it has a hot wire and main wire into so they don't need battery burning, so they never have a fire. And they're in every single council house and country.
Yeah.
So do you know why this fire started?
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't even, when the fire was on and afterwards, the fire brigade couldn't ascertain where the start of the fire was. There was it in the pantry, was it a microwave? The lady was a collector of ornaments. This was my theory. Did the sun refract on an ornament and catch something? I don't know.
No forensics have come back
on that. We haven't heard anything, but that could have, you know, but they certainly ascertained that there was no foul play.
And she didn't leave a stove on man the same
thing? We don't know. Thank you. Any other questions for Paul? No? Okay. So it's now the clerk's report.
Everyone will be really pleased to know, Vic, the finance bit is really, really, really quick. The finance bit, the accounts for April contain no substantial variances for budget except the cost of answering the Freedom of Information request concerning the neighbourhood plan. So what that says is we spent £1,666 more than we budgeted in April, of which £1,500 was the neighbourhood plan, the Freedom of Information Act accrual, and £166 was everything else. And the only thing, last thing I would say about that Freedom of Information Act request is it's been answered and no correspondence has been received since the response was sent. The legal advice behind it.
Sorry?
The legal advice behind it will cost nearly that. It's not good. Not good. The accounts for May will show a substantial surplus compared to budget, as the £10,000 that was included in the May budget for tree work hasn't been spent. I'm chasing the tree surgeon for his proposals following the tree survey, but I haven't got them yet. So the story there is April, £1,600 or so, worse than budget, but May will be much better, £10,000 better than budget, although that is slippage. It's not a permanent saving. But that accounts. Planning register, I've got two updates to the published planning register. Ian, if you could move to the published planning register, which is just coming to view. There it is. Receipts and payments. So,
question?
We can vote on those now, and I'll go on to planning register in just a moment.
That's absolutely fine.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely fine, Nick.
So, could we have...
can I move to do them both at the same time?
Yes, you can.
Yeah,
I'll second that.
Okay.
Opposed CR, seconded was Alison.
Yes?
Yes.
Frank?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Unanimous.
So I'll talk about the planning register for just a moment and then go into the rest of the clerk's report so we can move at pace. So that's the planning register. I've got two updates as compared to what's on that, and that's in the last few days. The applications concerning De Vere House have been received, has been approved, and also the application for the property at the junction of Bridge Street Road and Church Street has been approved. So if we look at what happened in May, which is the second box, three approvals were received from Baber, and we have suggested that all three should be approved. We've got the open items below, except two of them are no longer open items. It's De Vere House, which is the fourth, it's actually the third and fourth items in that open item section. They've both been approved. That's planning register. And I'll just do the rest of public realm quickly before handing over to Ian. And the rest of public realm is, I've inspected both sets of toilets with the owner of the company who is our contractor. And I told him that I thought those toilets needed a deep clean, and he's actually agreed with me. Both toilets have now been properly cleaned. They are looking so much better than they were. He's made a change into the in the daily arrangements to make sure they don't get like they were. So that's really made things a lot better. So it's always an exciting... unfortunately, someone did get locked into the Prentice Street toilets on a Friday afternoon at about 4:30, which is very distressing for the lady concerned. The toilet was closed and then it was reopened several days later when the replacement lock was fitted. But I do promise all councillors we didn't leave the local residents in there for several days. The replacement EV chargers have been installed in Water Street. This is all to do with the transfer of, to the Suffolk County Council. Ironically, we moved them to Suffolk County Council because we figured that we weren't very good at operating EV chargers, really. It wasn't really in our skill set. So the next sentence is, of course, two engineers from Connected Curve, who are their contractors, attended the site very recently, and they spent a full day working on the units. However, they were unable to connect them to their back office system, and their customer service folk advised that they've now contacted operations to ascertain the next steps. At the Prentice Street chargers, on the other hand, await Baber Legal and Connected Curve doing the legal documentation. So the answer is, it appears that we're not the only people who struggle to operate EV chargers, except that fortunately, and I hope people will find this funny, I don't sit here with a lot of councillors looking at me going, Andrew, when are you going to manage to make these EV chargers work? Since it's not so much my issue anymore. Right. Oh, Alison, have you managed to make any progress regarding a streetlight, please? Or do you want to tell us next time?
No, I can tell you now that everybody wants a streetlight, but nobody wants it near their house. And certainly they don't want it on their house. So, you know, people are making wonderful suggestions like, oh, it's like, put something around the tree and light that. Mm-hmm. I thought Baber's going to love that. I mean, yeah, and that is where I am. I mean, everybody wants it, but nobody wants it on their house.
Chair, shall we leave it that you and I will have a chat with Alison and a think offline, but at least...
I mean, we can think all we like, but that is the bottom line.
And remember, we do have certain powers in this area as well, not for you to use, but
oh,
for
no,
council.
I'm not using those powers. No. I know
but then, but I was trying to say is thank you for telling us what's going on, and I think there's not much more to be said. No. That's what I meant.
Lovely.
Thank you. The next thing is the council's retained handyman and I managed to unbolt the bins by the bus stop and the Green Co-op from the grounds and look at the fixings. Both the bins are identical. The fixings are different to each other because they've changed the fixtures over time. And indeed, the fixtures on the new bins, the replacement bins, are different again. So that makes it quite difficult. But anyway, I have a quote for the new bins. I will order them shortly. The cost is about £350 a bin. And this means that we will now have to drill new holes in the pavement to install these. But actually, our retained handyman has said that he can do that for us. He was obviously didn't want to do it for us, but he will do it for us.
Can the powers that be in Dorman?
Chemfix.
Chemfix.
It comes in a massive squirt it in and never pull them out.
Thank you. So that's where we are with bins, and I think you've asked me to go check the one by Howlett's as well. So
I have, yes.
So that we might end up with three.
The door's always open on the one up near Howlett's.
I'm not going to speak about the paddocks allotments and the proposed First Meadow gate, as we've got those as separate items on the agenda. And the two last things I need to say are, Baber had to bring all the electrical safety checks up to date before we could actually sign the lease for the office and the toilets, because it was a condition of the lease that they'd done all that stuff. That took quite a while, and in the middle of it, Faber have changed their standards as to the electrical in their office, so their electrician effectively upgraded it to their new standard at their cost, which was all actually, from my point of view, okay, except it delayed the signing of the lease. But you and I signed them earlier this week.
We did.
So we will now, A, legally operating there, which is quite maybe a good start. We'll pay a very small amount of rent, but we will now be able to claim business rates relief for the toilets because the toilets are on a separate lease to the office. So actually, it really does work.
Yeah.
And the last thing is, I'm going to be on leave for a week commencing Thursday, June the 11th. So yeah, obviously I'm really hoping that, please do not save all your emails up for Thursday, June the 11th and send them in. The chair will have a telephone. That's where the telephone will go. So that will be an upgrade for you all. Right, that's the end of the clerk's report.
Thank you.
Yes.
Planning.
Can I interrupt one thing about this lighting situation over the road? I know you say that how you haven't there's some powers. I am not sure enforcing a light there against someone's wishes is beneficial, as opposed to just waiting and seeing how strongly people react to it and not being one in the coming winter. Because as I say, although they're all very, you know, we love light, blah blah, nobody likes the tree, but they like the light, but nobody wants it. But the lady who did have the light had some real damage to her house, and that's caused her a lot of issues.
I utterly agree with, I know Councillor Mucking wants to speak, so I'll be quiet and as soon as I can. I utterly agree with you, right? It's very hard, and I'm not the decision maker.
Yeah.
You will be the decision maker.
Issues,
it will, you guys will be, the, but yeah, it's hard balancing all those that don't want a light with the letters that we did get talking about how, you know, they found the bits by the tree and where the pavement is uneven, really bad. And then you start to think about, you know, our moral, never mind financial. It's hard.
Yeah,
I just say it's hard, I'm not trying to make a decision. I'm
no,
just,
well, fair enough.
Yeah.
Well, I think we do what Alison said, is we leave it and see how what we get over the winter.
Well, that's it went last summer. So it went last summer. So we've had a winter of it, and we've got complaints letters.
And you got that's when you got the letter.
Yes.
And is there any option of having like a low level light on the floor, as it were? Mm. Or is it just that overhead light? Is that what we've got? That's the option, that light.
But maybe that, I know.
Sorry.
I will let Janice speak in a second. Yes, I'm thinking along your lines, whether we can get an expert out about
a bottle, or even a bollard type light like there is at the Meadow Close Foot
Park. Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Lovely.
Janice, there was my understanding, because I was there for the meeting about the light, there was no, we never contemplated putting a light back on somebody's house. But I think it's been flagged up to us that it's potentially dangerous because of how uneven the pavement is there, and there's nothing you can do about that because of the tree. and the parish council gets a bad enough rep if we don't replace the light, somebody falls over and breaks the hip. Who's going to get the blame for that?
But we could look at something different, a different source of lighting then. That, I think, honestly,
I know at random.
Because they would, honestly, everyone would really appreciate that, because I have had many discussions about this.
Yeah.
And while they say they do want a light because the pavement is done and the ruddy roots of the tree and everything, nobody wants it because it's got such a bad reputation of shining in there.
Well, if we can talk to somebody perhaps from Highways or UK Network or Power Network.
In short, now we've had this conversation with Alison, which is helpful. You and I can now go back to the Suffolk
right.
Street wise mm-hmm. the person and you know, and have another chat.
Okay.
I want to question this £15,000 on legal fees. I think it's actually extortionate, and I've not seen anything go through Parliament, Council to vote on spending £15,000.
It was £1,500. And
I read it up there as 15,000, sorry.
No, it's 1,500. Yes. 1,500. And I use my powers to do it, and the powers are I have to work with the chair to do it, and the next thing I have to do is I have to report it to the following council meeting.
Yes, 1,500.
And it was very clearly.
Why didn't we use SALC?
SALC do not give legal advice of this ilk. All they do is send SALC do when you go to them with FOI or DSAR, because I've been there, is they say the Information Commissioner's Office website's really helpful, and you get no further advice than that. You get nothing whatsoever.
I mean, the amount we're spending on solicitors is getting extortionate.
But yeah, SALC.
It's unfortunate we're being put into that position.
Yeah, but we haven't budgeted for these. These things, so can't we find a way around to keep them
normally you wouldn't have to.
Yeah, I think the point is, Michael, is that people, when they raise the freedom of information request, don't appreciate just how much it costs the community.
Yeah.
But it's happened last year as well, but there's a substantial amount of money.
Mr. Roach that brought this freedom of information. He didn't want the actual information to do anything. He's doing it to every single parish council to get a dossier of how freedom of information. So I think he's abused the freedom of information.
Yeah.
We probably shouldn't have mentioned his name in public.
Sorry. I didn't mention
his name. Sorry, I didn't mean... But... Yet it has transpired that this is not in any way, or doesn't appear to have been a hostile Freedom of Information Act request. It was someone using Freedom of Information Act legislation, writing to many parish councils, trying to understand how they were doing it. It was within his rights to do it that way, but it is very strange that he didn't actually write to us first a letter that said...
Do we know to what purpose?
No, we just know that he's written to many. We know he's, through the correspondence with him, I know he's written to many parish councils.
In Istanbul.
It implies that way, right? But he's within his rights, and I need to point that out. But it is also the case that he didn't write, and that this is not consequent of, say, him writing us a nice letter saying, what about this and what about that? And we either ignored it or brushed it off. It's the approach he's chosen to take.
I've made the clerk aware of the escape route about disproportionate and frivolous requests. I would look forward to discussing with the clerk or the council about giving him cover to decide that on the face of it, rather than have to go to solicitors, look at it and say, in my opinion, this one ain't going to fly, and we can use that get out clause. If he gets it wrong, we'll cover him in that case. But I would rely on his good judgment rather than go and track off down to the local solicitors.
I hear what you say, Frank. I think what I would say is we've had a number of Freedom of Information Act requests before. Not a single one have we been to solicitors about. And that's because they were all fairly straightforward.
Yep.
This one was very long, very complicated. It asked for emails, whereas none of the previous ones asked for emails. And that's where it all gets difficult. If someone just says, how much did you spend on X, right?
Yep.
Well, my answer from the bottom of my heart might be, well, why don't you read our accounts, right?
Yep.
A more polite answer is, here it is, yeah?
Yep.
This one was more complicated, more difficult, asked for emails. If, for instance, it actually was asking for the private emails of the neighbourhood plan group. That's where you have to go get advice before you tell someone to go away.
When I read this, I thought to myself, this one evokes Genesis 1:28.
I'm not a biblical person, Frank, but the story I was telling you was that this person was effectively, say, asking between Carol Reeves and Charles Posner, right? Now, clearly you need to get legal advice before you even start to even think about providing those.
Yeah, but I would have... Okay. Enough said. Let's get on with it.
Thank you. Anything else?
No, we're on to planning.
On to planning?
Mm-hmm.
Ian,
yeah.
At a whiz, please.
So there is a separate file for this if you found it easier, but it's just the very side of it.
Okay. The first three applications are associated with the gas terminal on Sudbury Road, and there are discharge positions and material amendments, not material. We've already commented on the support of this application and suggested no further comments. So unless anybody
can answer. I thought they'd been doing work. Or?
Yeah, I thought they'd
done it.
They've been there a couple of times. Next application is notification of trees in conservation area reducing the crown of the yew tree, ash tree, fairly new eucalyptus tree. And cutting back the branches of the plum tree, because we have. So a treaty maintenance of trees that are extending along the non-native tree. Other locations of them, we recommend approval. Planning would recommend approval. And perhaps using pictures of the trees involved, but it's not going to be reduced. Now, I think this would be good to see. There's a second one which we might just consider together. Applications for works to trees at the Old Man's Farm Street. The tree in question is this one here, the Trollet there. Down the road. The request was pollard it, and as you think more of the native tree, but we recommend approval because a number of other sycamores in the village have been pollarded or come back in the past.
Do we want to consider both these applications
Anyone
together?
Have any question on that No.
Recommend approval? Yeah.
Well, can I ask that the word approval should be changed to support, because we should only be putting support or object, not recommend approval or refuse. And I think the word refuse and approval, they're such a hard word, and we are only meant to put support or object.
I think the point here, Chris, is we're recommending approval to the planning officer. We are not actually saying voting on this meeting to approve it or refuse it. We're just recommending a recommendation.
I still think we should either say support or object, personally, but that's just my opinion. And I'd like that change, but nobody wants to, and it's fine.
On this occasion, I think we always did recommend approval, recommend refusal. Because it says it in itself, it's a recommendation.
I do get that. We are, as parish councils, only allowed to support or object. And that is written down in the planning
guidance, support or object. And I just think that refusal and approval is such a hard word. It's obviously approval doesn't affect people so much, but the refusal, it's such a hard word that you're pushing your authority on it to say we recommend a refusal.
I think the planners probably have got a good enough grasp of English to understand that hard word and to understand how it's meant though. And I would like to propose that we recommend approval for the retrieval.
Can I just second that note? One suggestion. To save any argument or people misunderstanding, could we not change that recommend approval to planning department?
So the wording that goes into, sorry Michael, that's what I'm speaking about, the wording that goes in when I put it in the portal is the sentence that the parish council recommends that the local planning authority approve this application. That will be the sentence that will go in for this, and indeed the opposite. The parish council recommends that the local planning authority refuse this application. Now, I could change refuse to decline if that may... But that's the wording. We recommend that you. We recommend. No, you don't. So that's why you're right to ask him. So the proposal was...
Me. Was Janice, seconded was Alison.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
And that was unanimous on both of them.
Yeah.
We just did it twice.
Cool. Yep.
The next one is installation of solar panels and battery storage on the church, which is grade 1 Lisbon. And obviously great historical points of the village. There are solar panels, as we all know, are assisting towards the country getting to net zero, and Church of England has a similar project to get to net zero. The proposed panels are mounted flat on the roof, black in colour, and because they're behind the raised parapet, in other words, in the lower part of the roof, they're not visible from the street or from distance, but they would be visible from above, i.e. if you were on the church tower at the back. Only occurs on a couple of days of the year. That's the text from the heritage statement. All that panels reducing visual contrast, erases sympathetically aligned roof geometry, fixes mechanisms, minimise penetration of the material, avoid unnecessary disturbance, and in the installation avoids removal of historic fabric, alterations to the architectural features, and the installation is reversible. There's a point here which in my third final review of the notes, I observed that we have previously thought that listed building content was essential for green on this building and grade 2 this building. In the case of the Church of England, there is an ecclesiastical exemption for the requirement of its listed building application because the church takes care of its own historical assets. So there is only a planning application. And the observation there is that various events of cathedral was granted planning permission in February 26th to fill 100 solar panels on the roof of the grave on the cathedral. And I've put the planning application there if anyone was interested. And one of the requirements of the panels could not be seen from the ground. They would be able to see from the tower, which does have a regular visit. In fact, I was up that time on Tuesday and I could see the two trial panels, which I have a photograph of if anyone was interested. So I'd like to get to see the location of the crystal. It's very similar to what I have there. So that's the location on the
pond side.
The east side, isn't it?
Same side as that's Platinum
the
Hall.
That's the road.
Yes, it is the road side, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, so I think the road. But the location, as you can see, is here and here, and there's the parapet. So the outer panels are installed on the roof, which is sloping, But this parapet on the front means that the screen from a view line down here or down here. So they're not actually visible. So we didn't make a recommendation because this application came in later on, and also the observation I made about the stability consensus only very well last night, so we didn't get a chance to consider it. So we need to consider it at this meeting, so there's no recommendation for that people. So has anyone got any questions about it?
Do we know what they're going to do with that, the batteries they say they're going to store?
Yes, the battery
is going to be a 500-year-old church.
Yeah, if you look at, if you go back to the plan, you will see the battery storage is actually over here, right back.
Well, that's what I thought. I thought it would be quite a big church.
No, no, but it's the right, the other side, near the head, so it's well away from the church.
Well, I would just like to say, I think it's a great idea, and the dummy panels have been up there for a while. I went to a meeting at the church about it. You can't see them. Unless you're in a drone, an aeroplane, or a tower, or in a balloon.
The ones that are up there, you can actually see if you look going up towards the church, and the church on the right, you can actually see that panel, but I don't think it's time.
And it costs
them
so much.
Yeah,
it's going to
be
special
help.
Yeah, I'm
sorry.
Yeah, I'm not saying I'm against it, I'm just, I didn't want to see a farm and say there's not a farm. And there's no farm, and all the church are up in smoke.
Okay.
My only comment is the Civil Aviation Authority may have an interest in this, because if you've got flat panels on a sloping roof, it may, the reflection may blind pilots.
It's in black.
Even so, there will be a reflection. So I'm just mentioning that as the first thought that came to me. The other item is these storage batteries. They have also got an explosive capacity, because you need to look at what happens if the thing decides to go bang. Because they will have a TNT equivalent. So there may need to be an earth bank to make sure that the explosion goes up if they do decide to go back.
Well, I'm sure they're being installed by...
Okay, so
there was just one thing. There was historic consultation, and they did make an observation about the location of active storage. The applicant has responded today, saying that they've obviously not, I mean, essentially they haven't seen the active storage a long way away. They've also made a comment about the inverter, and they found the light inverter, I think, and that's apparently in the kitchen, which is indeed piece of equipment to convert the solar panel to main voltage. And there is about any question from that consultee on the level of noise, although they thought the comment will be that has been made that it's likely to be made alone.
Yeah.
But it was. that was in the today's update.
Okay. So do we have a recommendation?
So I would recommend approval.
Yeah, Ian proposed it.
I second that.
Alison seconded it.
Yes.
Janice has agreed. And
I'm just saying.
Okay.
Yes. But with taking the comments I've made about Civil Aviation Authority and explosive capacity potential into account. It's something I studied for my PhD 7 or 8 years ago.
My difficulty here is not whether I agree with you or not, I'm doing the clerical thing here. Was the motion that we supported it? Or do we need to amend the motion so that it has Frank's comments in it?
We've already voted on it.
But Frank's vote was conditional.
Yeah, but we've already voted on it.
I know. So I think actually the answer is you voted for it. 2-3. Chris abstained. Ian, you voted for.
Abstained.
You'll abstain. No. Sorry, I didn't want to beep, but I didn't want to mislead you.
Okay.
So, CR and FD abstained. Thank you all. Sorry, I didn't want to mislead you that I was going to put that in when actually that's not what the motion was.
No problem. Martin
Mushiller. Okay, so we've moved on. So
yeah, the other application for Hall of War Road, there was an application which was refused and then was subsequently granted after appeal. And this application is for amendment for that. For the application to reposition the proposed gate to Mount Pedestrian Gate by moving them further back from Hotland Lane. So the change is that the brick, that the gate originally, I think, is shown between this point and this point. And the application is to move one third of the gate back to there, the pedestrian gate is, and on this side of the wall, in the same brick as the other walls as you built the courtyard. So it's an amendment to the previous, for the application is granted under appeal. So the application granted was granted under appeal was this side of the gate. But this application moves the position of the gate to enable the pedestrian gate also the same to allow them to block the road once the gate is open because they're not blocking the road. And the recommendation is approval. Has anyone got any questions?
No. Sounds good. So the
proposer is.
You recommend an approval?
Yeah, recommend approval.
Do we have a second on?
I'm seconded, Janice, and I'm a seconder. Yes.
And can we all have a show of hands, please? Lovely, thank you.
Well,
you
we didn't burn, so I mean, it's got a rush.
It's all right, we're both writing. Okay.
Unanimous.
Is that everything, Ian?
No.
Dogs next to.
Oh, dogs, yes, sorry.
Yes, yeah, so this is change of use of a part arable farm. Part arable field to enclose, secure dog feed and exercise area. So this was reviewed by the planning group, but there have been further comments come in on the application. It now shows one in favour of the application and four objecting to the application. So we need to bear that in mind in our discussion because certainly that has provided new information that's given me something to think about. And it may, and you heard in the public hearing, Mr. Astor spoke about this as well. So, we'll just talk about the proposed one's location. So, this is Park Lane. This is where the land will walk across the Park Lane.
Park Road.
Park Road, sorry. Park Road. Park Road. And this is the actual point here. Some hardcore has been put down in recent weeks or months. I've taken pictures of recently and you can see that the house will be put down like this here. This is the proposed walking and exercise field which has a stock fence all the way around it, a parking area with some hard landing, a shed and a golf course. The value structure is relatively small. Although it does say on the boundary line more some children, which security children, which I haven't really seen the need for. It's not really a stock fence, this is a stock fence. This is the type of parking area, so we've got something like this down on the centre. And shed is it's a mobile set of topics on the ground. Now, the observation I would make, and the comments have been made in planning application, highlight the fact that Park Road is a single width, there's no parking spaces. It's quite regularly used many times a day by dog walkers, people around, and cyclists, and that more vehicles down there could well cause difficulties with that parking spaces and more people, especially with bad air. Now, that's my personal opinion. Planning group did recommend approval, but I'd just like us to consider that in a bit more detail, because I certainly have got questions in my mind about recommending.
I think it's a brilliant idea to remove some of these street shops off of the streets around Latin, which are quite, there's quite a lot of them maybe, so maybe if the dogs it had somewhere where they could run. And just could take it up there and remove the food off of those streets.
Yes, I agree. I think the idea of dog walk field where people can let dogs off the lead, that perhaps not well enough control to let them off in on first place like first meadow, I think it is a good idea. But there have been suggestions now constructing the session, the farmer has suggested that there might be another location on Ridge Road, and that in fact the case perhaps it should be explored.
It's a very narrow road and it's regularly used by walkers with or without dogs and horses.
Yeah.
And I think that would be a concern because there's no, the verge is very uneven and there's no pathway. So it would be difficult.
It's quite difficult to get off the road. And there aren't very occasionally cars going up there, but of course it's only just for one farm, or sometimes people park in this just here to take the dog for a walk. So we occasionally see a car park here on the village. So it's just made me think myself a little bit more about it. I love the idea, but if there are other locations in the village that perhaps not on such a narrow road, and that's a possibility, then we should perhaps be recommending they are considered.
In its other points, I do believe you said we can only consider the application in front of us.
Absolutely. I'm just, and that's what I'm saying, I'm not talking about particular location, I'm just saying that not the idea, but do we think that this is an appropriate location?
Okay. Chris?
You'd have to put another application in. You couldn't put recommend another site. There'd have to be
separate,
Anyone else?
I think it's an absolutely wonderful idea. I just think that it's unfortunately in the wrong place.
Yeah.
And I think we should recommend refusal.
On highways grounds.
Mm-hmm. Not on
the
principle of
traffic movement grounds.
Yeah.
Because if they do go over the highways will survey and say, won't they? Before they've given it, will have to make a recommendation that it's not suitable.
Well, there is a letter, objection letter that's appeared, which has had some correspondence with the highway officer, suggesting that it might be.
He's going to review it, isn't he?
Going to review it, so. Certainly, with that. I mean, it's their decision at the end of the day, but our recommendation comes from local knowledge.
From my clerical angle, is the motion to propose to refuse it basically because Potland Road is considered too narrow to handle the number of vehicles. My apologies. Park Road. Now you and I both got it wrong. But Park Road cannot cope with the number of it. So if maybe the motion will fail, but if it passes, it would be we will recommend that the application not be approved because Park Road is insufficiently wide and has insufficient number of parking spaces. Passing for traffic. That would be the words that.
Are you able to give feedback that thinks we're generally supportive of the idea in principle, but just not there?
I think we could say we decline this application. Yes.
On the ground of this.
On because of that. Yeah. And we're then saying, council is supportive of the idea of dog walking zones, or whatever we're calling them, fields, but not this one. That could be the motion that. Yes, I think
can
so.
Try and word something, Donald.
Yeah.
Should we try and word something?
So, Janice, do you propose a motion to decline it?
I'm proposing to decline it on the grounds that Park Road is very narrow road and couldn't sustain the additional traffic.
That's nice wording. Yes. So, actually, that is the motion that if Park Road is too narrow and cannot sustain the increase in traffic.
Can I share?
Depends on it passes. Is there a seconder? Does it have a seconder?
I'll second it.
So Frank?
Well, I'm here.
I'm here.
What, you're refusing the motion or refusing the dog park?
I'm refusing to vote, against your motion.
Okay. So this is going against the motion.
So
one again.
So on this, Chris abstained. Michael opposed the motion. But Frank, Ian, Alison and Janice obviously voted for it. Thank you.
You may now cheer.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We have a number in this council. We pay the council.
Okay. We move on, don't we?
We're
done with planning.
We know that.
Lovely.
Newsletter. So this is Michael's motion. This is the LNP group's motion. Michael, I gave you the sheet in advance. It's a front sheet, not the big. I think it's on the very back. The back piece of paper. I thought that might be the most helpful one for you to. Yeah.
Well, all of the paperwork, as usual, is on the working paper since you came since last Friday. We're looking for approval of sending out our update on the findings of the
parish survey.
Nothing controversial in that at all. It's just a few about what the complaints and that are, and we'd like permission to go to print that, please.
Ian, could you just go back just a touch?
Okay.
So yeah, the motion is that we approve the text of the draft newsletter. We approve the text of the draft newsletter. So if anybody says, "Oh, that was written by Carol and Michael and nobody else and the council didn't approve it," mm-hmm. The answer is stuff off. It was approved by everybody. So it approves the text. And then it says, thank you very much, can you please go get it printed? That's mm-hmm. what I wanted to say.
I propose the motion.
So this is the LNP motion.
We can propose the motion. The proposal is? The proposal for the motion.
Is CR.
Is CR. Anybody second the motion?
I'll second it.
Frank? Yes.
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 Unanimous.
Okay.
I also have another couple of points, Chair, if I may.
You may.
Whilst we can't believe everything that's been written on the questionnaires, this is the book, the main book, which we will, is on the website now.
It is.
We've got 102, if my mess is right. Can you get that right?
No, keep going.
128, replies to the questionnaire of people's life. But we'd ask councillors to please.
Sorry.
I would like, I can't recommend not to come up in a position, but I would suggest that all of our councillors read and take on board what our public is saying, because the parish council, to be quite honest, has been slated everything, non-parish, not fit for purpose, you name it, it's in there. It's there for you to read it. I'm not judging, please don't think I'm the judge, but I think if you all want, anybody wants voting in again next year. Is it next year,
Councillor? Yes.
If the people on the council now want to serve on the council, we really need to pull our socks up and abide by some of these things these people are asking for, and to recommend village. Not being out of any form of motion, that is my feeling. I've read this from front to back so many times, and I think we need to try and do things that would make the public think the parish council are representing them, not ourselves, and that is mentioned in this book.
Actually, Chair, can I make a point in that three councillors are mentioned by name, and it comes across as it's coming from somebody with a bit of an axe to grind, and I don't think so. I think those names should be redacted.
Okay.
Michael, do you want to redact those names, or do you want to take that thought away?
No. We printed them as they've come in, and three of them are fellow councillors.
I don't think it's fair.
Can I please?
Yes, because I'm just saying, because they're not here to speak up for themselves.
I think possibly redacting will be acceptable for them, but I really must reiterate that these people see that they're complaining about them, but we redact it, and we don't want the general public all to see it.
I take your... I'm not obviously about councillors reading it. Remember, the document is on our website at the moment with those names.
Can you take it down and redact it? I can take it down.
Yeah. But obviously I can only redact it with your group's agreement.
Yeah, I would like to redact it if I need, but there's three of the steering group, the alignment votes in agreement we have in those.
I'll take that document down and
If you could, please. As I say, I think everybody should.
Particularly for at the moment, obviously, you have to read the parish council website and be sort of, an enthusiast of Matins Parish Council to have read the matter. But
I'm not reading it.
But the rest of the world will not. Thank you. I will redact in due course.
Thank you. Other than that, our meeting is not till Tuesday, when we've gone through all the complaints. They may change. We may have to ask Andrew to take bits out, but won't be able to take that really until Wednesday morning. And we would be able to talk, we would be able to discuss it with the chair if it was possible.
Yeah.
I think, Michael, with your agreement, clearly very few people would have read that document where it currently sits.
Well, please
take
it down
when
you can until we've had our meeting.
Yeah, I will.
And then what we could do, once it's been redacted, we could leave a copy in the library to be left in the library and read.
I don't know how many copies have been printed, but I know there's more than one. I do know that. I didn't think I was special. But I don't know how many the group have asked for them.
Yeah.
If there's a fair
copy. I haven't got one.
Well, you need to go to Carol's and pick it up.
You will ask if you want one. But of course you don't read any email, do you?
I'm very busy.
Okay.
I'm sure.
After the morning, grab one.
We'll have our meeting next week.
I'll take it in the library, and I think should there be one in the parish council office? No? Okay.
I think that would be a good idea. What, the parish council office? Just one of them in there?
Well, just for future reference, because we couldn't find you on the previous one. Copy of this?
Oh, no. Well, we don't have one. We're not going to use that now.
I'm just saying, it'd be good to have one.
Yeah, I mean, what?
In the library, you've got to stay in it and I have to read it there. That's what we do with the consultation papers, they go in and do that.
comes out.
Councillors, for your information, I've just taken the agenda and the working papers out off our website. They are no longer there, right? Mm-hmm. To deal with that issue.
You don't know?
Yeah, it doesn't mean.
That would have taken me 3 hours to do.
No, so now I can go, I'll have to redact it manually and then, yeah, so the website.
It's gone down.
It's no longer visible to the world.
Okay.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
Although well, Christopher still seems to have us.
Well, he won't let if he logs back out and logs back in again, it's gone.
Well,
okay.
Right, grants. Should we do grants? Good job we've got nobody who runs a Facebook page here to report any of this stuff. This one I think would be very straightforward.
Can I just add, I am now able to tell Slaven Press to print this and distribute.
Yeah, you are.
Thank you.
We included £6,000 in our budget for this year for grants to community organisations. Our policy is that applications for grants are invited each May and November. We've got an up-to-date grants policy. As I said here, there's been no deterioration in Council's financial position since the budget was prepared. Well, this was rolled over from last month, but only a minor deterioration in our position. And we do have a contingency anyway. So whilst we do know there are some costs coming to us, predominantly legal fees, as Michael highlighted, they would be covered very largely by the contingency. Mm-hmm. Council is under no obligation to make such grants. The question is the clerk instructed to invite application from community groups for consideration by council of their grants? And I'll have to change the date on the bottom. Sure this was rolled forward from last month, wasn't it? And I've changed the date. Yes. So I take it we could all agree, if assuming that we all like this idea, we can. The clerk can be discretion to roll the date forward.
I think we've got at least another week to give people time.
I'll roll the forward. Roll forward the date 3 weeks. I'm sure we don't need to pass a motion about that.
I suppose.
Yeah.
Chris. Second. Michael. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ian?
Yeah.
And Frank left at 2025. Okay, fair enough. That's that one done. Chair, would you like to introduce the bullying and harassment one?
Okay, well, the bullying and harassment policy has been written by a councillor who is absent. Can you do the next one? Show the next one as well. We've got three papers. They've been written by councillors who are not here, and I would like to ask council to approve that we defer them until the councillor who has written them is here to be able to discuss.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, they're all good. Thank you.
So the proposal was Michael. Was it Michael?
Proposal was Chair. Proposal was the chair.
Oh, the proposal was chair. Is it the second? Would Michael be the seconder then?
Janice was the seconder.
Janice was the seconder.
No,
okay.
No,
not really.
I'm a yes.
And it was unanimous. Do we similarly want to do this with the buses motion because Councillor Morford isn't here to explain it? Can we decide that we just voted for that one as well rather than go through it again? Okay. Right, so we're now on to speed indicator devices.
Yes. Janice recommends approval, but we haven't discussed it yet.
We haven't. So,
but I think she'll be okay.
And with your agreement, Chair.
Yes.
Because this is sort of connected up with the Brent Ely Road idea of a speeding device. I think you'd agree it is. You know what I'm talking about.
I do.
Chair, could I ask you to use your discretion to move item concerning the First Meadow Gate above this one so that everybody hears the First Meadow Gate conversation first?
I do agree. I would like to use my discretion to move the First Meadow Gate.
And
thank you.
Chair, do you want to give people the background to how on earth we ended up with this email?
Okay, so what we did is
Obviously, there was has been conversations in the past about moving the gate on First Meadow to halfway down, so it's opposite number 3 Brenteely Road. So what we did is we thought there had been some concern, so we asked Highways to come out and have a look at the existing gate, moving it, what we could do to make everything a bit safer. And yesterday we met with Darren from Highways and he had a look at everything to do with First Meadow and the entrances. He sent us an email to read out for this evening. We were looking at various options, so we were looking at going halfway down. He decided that would not be safe on the grounds that actually people come round the corner and tend to speed up a bit. They'd actually be going quicker than they would be at the corner. We also have a lot of cars that park along the road, which doesn't help with visibility. We looked at the corner and we were saying, well, we could put a bigger gate in, we could lock it, we could do this, do that. And then the chair had to give a demonstration that if she can climb through the fence, then anybody can climb through the fence. And that's what I did. So we decided that at that point, we were going to get the status quo with the existing entrance, but we've got to look at what can we do to slow the traffic down a bit. So we had a walk down the road, didn't we? Mm-hmm. And we looked at the poles that are there, one with an existing SID, which was the existing SID's pole, and the 30 mile an hour speed limit signs, and where the one on the outskirts of the village is and everything else. What we did, looked at all that, and the conversation went that we would look at putting a SID on the playing field side of the road, because we wouldn't have to ask landowners permission, because we are the landowner. And the existing SID's pole, we could put a sign up that said playground, with the dancing child with the parent, and a sign saying playground, and possibly slow on the road so that everybody knows that that is what is approaching. So we stood there quite a while, didn't we, with Darren. This is what he has written to us so that you can take that into consideration. I would not recommend relocating the park entrance further down Brentley Road. First dropped crossing point across the carriageway would be obscured by on-street parking, so pedestrians would not have adequate visibility to safely cross. Secondly, the new location would be against the pedestrian desire line, and many able-bodied pedestrians will instead choose to exit the park via lower road or go over the fence. I did consider whether a drop crossing point could be constructed on the corner of Water Street, but this is hampered by the available width of the highway and the proximity of passing vehicles. Following our discussions, we agreed that the Parish Council would investigate the possibility of installing a speed indicator device on Brent Ely Road to remind motorists that they are within the 39-hour speed limit. There are two empty posts each side of Brent Ely Road, one within the front garden of a private property and the other on the park on the offside carriageway. It would make sense to consider a SID on the offside post within the park, as the SID will not be obscured by parked vehicles, would have good visibility and be safely accessed. There is no problem relating to the highway boundary, and the location will be beneath the BT overhead opposed power line. It was agreed that the Parish Council will review this option and the criteria for a SID application, including any light disturbance to any neighbouring properties.
My understanding was it wasn't the issue of safety for children, wasn't so much the speed as the fact that you've got to sort of check what's coming from Water Street, what's coming from Low Road and what's coming from Frontier Road. It's not just like a street, it's a street road, you're just looking each way.
Yeah, we've
So that was thoroughly what we explained to him. And what he then basically said is, I hear what you're saying, but you're not moving that gate 50 metres down Brent Healy Road. Stop. That was the gist of the conversation.
So what did Prowell say about this?
So Prowell say, so Prowell were in a strange position of, I think, of technically the footpath does end 50 metres down. Technically it's got a gate on it, which it shouldn't have. But I think in Prowell's list of priorities, this is about, you know, somewhere fairly low down. If Prowell would like us to put a chicane type affair in 50 metres down, that would be what they would like us to do. But the first thing that they say is, you must go talk to Highways. Nothing can happen here unless you go talk to Highways. And Highways said, no. So we had it as our number one thing on our list of things to spend our seal money on, and it's just become a no. But what I think Councillor Norman was saying is, that what the Highways man was suggesting is that, you're familiar with this area, Chris, in a big way, you know where the SID post is, and there's a sign, a pole directly opposite the road with a 30 mile an hour sign, that effectively what you do is you put the SID on the 30 mile an hour sign, because it's further from some poor sod's house. And then what you would have done is you would have done the best you can. I think I might have put many words in this. The best thing that you can to make entrance to the playground safer, because you haven't moved it to an unsafe place, and you put a SID up and an extra SID and a children's playing sign, which do the best you can, and frankly it would be a fraction of the cost of any of this Highways work.
Yeah, and he said people are still going to go through that fence.
So this is only for traffic, so this would only be affecting traffic coming from Brent Healy towards Cadman. So it wouldn't, we're not looking at impacting traffic coming down from Water Street or Low Road.
No. So, well clearly there's no motion on this, this is the let's talk about it. But yes, the proposal would, unless councils guide me in some other way, you would expect me to come back and say, I've applied for a SID, to put a SID post on Brent Healy Road, on where the 30 mile an hour thing currently is, and it will be our intention, once I've got the SID post built, that we put a SID on it. But it, and it would be a SID that always faces outwards, yes.
Do we think people speak there?
I have had a traffic report done on Brent Healy Road, and the average speed I think was 42 miles an hour both ways. That's the average speed.
I can't remember any accidents happening
there. I haven't.
I can't remember any.
I think my observation is that yes, on the approach to that corner, some 200-300 metres that are open could be doing 30 or 40. Certainly not going to be doing 30 or 40 when you get to the corner, because you go straight over the grass and into the car.
But it's going to slow right down
because there's a right hand down there.
Yeah.
And so, although it might slow the traffic down earlier, I don't think it's going to be any slower when you get to the corner, because at the corner you've got to go slow. Otherwise you're off the road. Nobody's going to be speeding at the corner, right? Because you can't do 30 miles an hour at that corner. You can't do more than about 10 or 15.
You'd end up on the common.
Because you end up on the common, yeah. So I can see if there's video on Brent Healy Road, it's a great idea. But as to it slowing down the traffic on the corner, I can't really see it, because you've got to go slow.
It's a case of an intro-turn sort of thing. I mean,
sorry, someone's
saying. I mean, is this a case of, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're coming up this, and we're going to do that, we're measuring that. And
I know Chris wants to speak too, but you're absolutely right. We could decide to do absolutely nothing. And this isn't really a decision, mate. This is a report, yep. But if I find out that all councillors don't want to do anything, then I'm clearly not going to bring anything back to council, am I?
If there's agreement to let us put triangle up and kids play the game, why can't you put a triangle up on lower roads and one on Water Street coming down? So you have three signs and then that would be on the street called the coming rain, where it's kids playground. Signs are not going to cost much money, are they? And then as Mick has said a few times, that SIDs, if you move them around, rather than buy a new one, we can move them around, because I know the fact that people don't meet the meter circuit sometimes, that you don't see it, you get blind to them, and you don't see them, you ignore them.
So is the proposal then that I asked Suffolk Ferguson to quote for some basically some more children playing signs around there, and that we don't go about putting up a applying for a SID post on the park side.
You've already got a SID post.
It's not on the park side.
There is one on the park side.
Yeah, it's not tall enough.
It's not tall enough. Look, I think it's a good idea to put a SID up, but not buy another SID. Use the SIDs. We've got three SIDs and move them around.
So we could move them around. We'll come to that in a moment. Because the one on the park side is not a SID post. It's just a repeater post.
I think you need a SID.
So if you wanted to, that would be an application. We could put it on the SID post side, right? That is very close to someone's house, and it parked cars.
But this is into two motions, one about the children's side and the other about the SID post.
Yes, so we need to find out.
They're not necessarily easy.
So I will come back in due course with something about signage and something about a SID post. But I've now put you on kind of notice, I'm not going to come back with anything more about moving the gate.
So these are massively
less than moving the gate. Moving the gate was expensive. A, because the chicane that Pro would have demanded, and B, then whatever highways would have demanded, all about the crossing.
I could shoot the gate.
I'm going to get a trap and drum.
Do we think we got through that one? I think we have SID post on playing field, but then we're going to decide on the purchasing or not purchasing of an extra SID.
And some children playing signs generally,
yeah,
around the place. Which is, those are two massively cheaper jobs.
And what would be some costs that they can go to rather than have the street damage?
Well, there is a existing very... Sorry, I'm going to use a colloquial word to everybody. Knackered 30-pound mile speed sign on outside the Salvation Army Hall, because we commented on it yesterday, didn't we?
Well,
it's what?
Knackered.
Yeah. There's the one where we want to where we're proposing putting the new SID pole. That one is completely faded and whatever. But we didn't look from the Water Street Road, did we? We'll look at that.
Speed,
no, just put the playground sign. Yeah, but there might be a pole for something else that we can attach it to. Okay? Right. Okay. So is that it?
I'm happy that's the first meadow gate thoroughly explained to councillors.
Okay.
Yep, I'm really cool with that.
So you want to now do 14?
14, because I think 14 works best next. So Councillor Bourne will return in a moment, but Ian, if you could put up the working paper for item 14 so we can see what we're talking about.
This was my proposal, wasn't it?
So yours was SID posts.
Mine was to have a SID post and move the SIDs around. It seemed to be changed to buy another SID.
No, hang on. Give us a minute.
Your proposal was, as I to put a post on the Brent Ely Road and a post on the Bury Road, wasn't it?
I think there is a post on the Bury Road.
Well, you're absolutely right. There are posts in both places. Mm. So that's why there isn't a motion to put posts up, because there are posts in both places.
We've gone from moving the seats, which cost nothing, to £3,500 plus that.
Well, you can, in that case, vote the motion down. In that case, vote this motion down.
Why has my motion been changed?
Because I couldn't put up a motion that said, let's put up SID posts on the Brent Ely Road and Bury Road, when everyone would have said, excuse me, Andrew, they're both there. Did you not look?
Yeah, but where did you find it? My motion definitely was not mentioned buying any more equipment.
No, it wasn't. So your motion was, can we please put up some more SID posts?
Yeah, to move the posts around.
Yeah. Well, you can't move the posts around. Your posts.
Move the speed.
Can we put up some more posts and then move the stuff around, right? I'm saying there are posts there, so that bit of the motion just couldn't sit because we have them. I'm suggesting here that we purchase a SID for the Berry Road one, and I will talk through why I think that's a good idea. But if council doesn't choose to buy this SID, then it will either have to continue, that post will either have to continue to be unused, or it will rotate them. But
then we'll have to find a way to rotate them.
If you put the brackets on, it takes 2 minutes to move them. I do it every other county in the country. You Google seat placement, and every council is moving seats in a fall with places, because you technically become blind to a seat.
So I hear what you said. Right, so this, but for the people who are not fully up to speed, the SID post is actually, it's the tip of that arrow, which is quite difficult to see in the top picture, but in the middle picture, it's much easier to see. Mm-hmm. It is that post there on the left, mm-hmm. which is has a reasonable sight line facing up the hill, coming out to facing towards Berry. There is much correspondence in the past saying that actually we could not use this SID post. There's correspondence between various people who are associated with the parish council in the past saying that even though there was a post there, Suffolk had said that we could not use it because it is on such a steep bank, the pavement is so narrow that it is unsafe to work on that post. That is what the correspondence from the past says. Would that be a fair comment, Jack?
Mm-hmm.
So, what we certainly don't want to be doing, in my opinion, therefore, is attempting to move a SID from that location at any point.
Just an observation, before your time, mm-hmm. but certainly when the SID was broadcasted by Brian Hamilton,
mm-hmm.
it was moved frequently, yeah. and it sat on this post for a long time here.
So it sat on that post.
Yes, and
right.
then it was moved to where it was on somewhere, but it's been there for several years. That's previously here and it was in different places.
So the answer is it was moved to there. I do not know whether it's ever been moved to Berry Road. I don't know.
No, I don't know.
But
that.
What I am telling you is
we think it had.
You think it has? Is that's a really horrible site to move something to. And we need to remember that to move these SID posts you have to have a health and safety working on the road certificate. You two have them. These two gentlemen have them. No one else does. But these two gentlemen absolutely do have them. That's absolutely the case.
If anyone owns that bank, is that your land or the where the seed post is, seed bank, who owns it? On the top picture.
Woodland Trust.
I actually don't know is the answer. No, I don't know.
Because surely we could just go down there with a couple of shovels and scrape that back a bit to make it safer.
I don't know is the answer. What I'm saying, in the current state, having spent some time standing next to it, it's horrible. Yeah, you would not want to stick a stepladder next to that. Because moving them is, because obviously Paul Holland and I put up the two on Melford Road, and they are heavy, and I've also been inside the subway but wanted to try and move it. The bolts are all horrible and rusted, you know,
don't
not
you
easy.
Bracket, and they just hang on bracket though, don't they? So you buy extra and you don't move the brackets. Yeah, you leave the brackets on the
post,
because the Brendini one, you can see, is just a slot of bracket, and they just hang it on, and then you go past, and it's gone, and it's at the other end of it.
I'm not, see, that, yeah. Should we get, you're arguing reasonable points, in my opinion, although I'm not. So what we're saying is, that is the post. It is unclear to me from the correspondence whether it is a post that we could actually use or not. It's certainly unclear to me whether we can realistically, in its current state, even forgetting Suffolk County Council's views on matters, put a SID post on it anyway, because it's really horrible to work on.
Yes. We know you don't want to do it.
I don't, no. So, PLC councillors can read the rest of the paper, but I guess the question that we're trying to come down to is, option one is that we write to Suffolk and say, can we put a SID on this thing that looks like a SID post or not, and wait and see what happens. Option two is that we move one of our other SIDs to it without talking to Suffolk, recognising that that's quite a fiddly job, right, in my opinion. And it means that one's got to come from somewhere else. Or option three is that we purchase a SID for it. I think that's essentially the debate, isn't it?
Yeah.
Brian Penton Meadow, he's got a SID on his property, hasn't he?
On his verge.
He has mentioned that several times, but it's still there.
That's not his property. He's
not
around.
It's supposed to be on the bottom picture.
Yeah, it's on the verge.
It's not on his plan, it's on
that
verge.
Right, well,
but he's right next to the
map. So you can be part of the curves that quite long, something in the grass, and over the years, the grass has grown over them.
I propose another motion, which was we investigate which coast the real town is, and that we get brackets, suitable brackets that enable us to go on without using a spanner if that's possible. And transfer it place to place like we've done in the past. And if
it's one position for 4 weeks, and then 4 weeks, then move back. And then people won't get used to them, and it does. When you go through Brent Healy, if you don't see it, then all of a sudden it's back again, and they do.
My only, look, you guys will decide, not me. Yes, is that if you think Latham's a tourist town, so for actually loads of people, it is new at each point. So it's not a town where the same people go past the sign 250 working days a year. That would be my only other comment.
I wouldn't propose any motion.
So actually, which in your motion isn't on, right? But I could certainly bring it next time. Which is what exactly? And then we will make.
We investigate the installation of a
post.
New plate. By 13 plates. A mounting plate, brackets that are installed on all posts that it's possible to install to use for SID. So we retrofit every post with one of these brackets.
We have two different brands of SID as well.
Yes, I don't know whether the old one, that one that used to be down on this post at the bottom there. But I don't know whether this bracket is very rusty. I don't know if that is easy to move or not.
Well, can I just say, whenever I come into Lavenham, that reminds me to tap the brake.
The one on
Sudbury Road, every time I come into Lavenham. So perhaps we can use the more modern one.
On Melford Road.
That we move one of the more modern ones that be the one that rotates on a bracket.
Would your motion be that I investigate purchasing the plates to move one of the modern Melford Road ones onto the Bury Road? And are we interested in putting it on Preston Road or not?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I mean, the post that we can use, which we get.
Okay, so it's investigating. It's investigating purchasing the plates to allow them to be the one of the Melford Road or one or both of them. To be moved occasionally, or at. Yes.
Yeah, so the posts that are available, it seems
there are three posts.
I think we might have to get the one on the playing field changed, though.
Because
it's not tall enough.
Well, the language can investigate that.
But the one I can do is, if we keep Brent Healy Road aside for the moment, is it's about investigating whether buying the plates to move it, and then at the same time writing to Suffolk and saying, can we actually stick one on Bury Road or not?
Yeah.
That was it. Because they wrote back saying you can't use your Bury Road SID post, then actually the conversation does start to change, doesn't it?
Well, we could go to them and say on what grounds, because with what was said in 2017, as Chris has said, that pavement is narrow because it's slipped and slipped and slipped, and if we could part it, would that be neater and make it safer?
Because the ground might have just and actually the back farm,
The thing that confuses me is Suffolk's the only supply the SID posts. They won't stick it. They won't tell their people to put a SID post in the ground unless you. And so,
it's good enough.
So therefore that.
Well, at some point.
So that throws the whole argument of all this correspondence in the past.
The fact that we stopped using it.
They don't know
that. Yeah, it's
because the tarmac doesn't use grass.
I was asked to. I can remember that pavement being put in, and you could get a pushchair down there very easily.
Yeah, well, it's just.
I will ask about the plates, and I will ask whether we can put whether that is a legitimate SID post as far as they're concerned.
Yes, yeah, on all the SID posts that we have installed.
They installed the SID post whenever they installed it. Have you got any objections to us using it?
And
subject to this.
And I think, whilst that's the motion for next time, that Chris and Michael suggested and pointed out that they have the certificates to actually move these things around, because the rest of us don't. Not this council.
No, the council.
So that's SIDs, I think. Done.
Okay. And then once we know all that, perhaps then we can be asking if our two councillors who have got their pieces of paper would be willing to move it regularly, or if one of our councillors says, I'm not doing it anymore, Jack, that we train somebody else. We finance somebody else to go to Suffolk to be trained. Well, I don't know that.
I think we are going to do it there,
but we need to make sure that a level base to put it, because you need to get ladders up.
Do you want the chair to do... Chris, do you want to bring forward your footpath and bridle away motion?
I can, but I did have a conversation with you. I fully support it, and I want to see it done, and I want to do it. But with all the problems that have been going backwards and forwards, I own one of the longest footpaths in Lavenham, and it has been commented that I'm not late to talk about it because I do own one of the footpaths.
As you know, I said I would present the motion for you, but do you want me to do that or not?
Yes.
Do you want to do it now, or do you want to do it when there's more councillors here?
I don't mind. We'll do it now if you want.
Because Chris, obviously you need to leave for 16, right?
Yeah.
So should we do 17 first then?
And then go home.
Would we be called? I think
yes,
we're going to struggle.
Four councillors. Four is called.
Okay.
I don't mind. It's up to you. But obviously, I don't want to get into any... Because I own one of the biggest footpaths. But I want to see all the footpaths upgraded.
Yes, because it would seem, it would sound like you're up to the interest, so it's in your interest to upgrade the parts because you own one of them.
Correct.
And it's been part of an application that's ongoing.
And I did have a conversation with Andrew.
I said to you, I'd be happy to present it or you would, or you thought about withdrawing it, and I asked you to let me know by Thursday.
You can present it and I'll just say nothing.
So I will present it. I'll get it over. Ian, could you bring it up? I do know what it says, of course.
Oh, I'm on 16.
So then we're going to do 17 first, because Chris will leave, and 16. So, I'm going to set. So the motion is that we establish a working group to lead on safeguarding, maintaining and improving the network of public footpaths and bridleways in and around Lavenham. It is, as the paper says, it's entirely true that the neighbourhood plan sets out clear commitments regarding the protection and enhancement of the footpath and bridleway. The LMP includes a specific project that the Parish Council will ensure that the network of statutory footpaths is adequately signposted, regularly inspected and maintained, and will use its best endeavours to ensure continuity of safe access for the public. That is absolutely a quote from the LMP, which is which we are currently revising, because the other one failed. As the paper goes on to say, recent decisions by the Parish Council, including facilitating access over the railway walk, demonstrate the Council's recognition of the importance of accessible routes. Ian, if you could go on further. So the paper then talks about how there are known issues relating to access, maintenance and condition, and proposes that a working group is established, ideally chaired by a councillor who is interested in these matters, and the working group will. So the parish council, it says, has a defined role in liaising with landowners and reminding them of their responsibilities, coordinating with PRO, supporting community involvement involving volunteer groups, seeking funding and providing assurance that the network is safe, accessible and aligned with the LNP's commitments. There's then a whole pile of, of references to the statutory side of this, and Ian, if you could go down a bit further. Conclusion. Given that the LNP commits the PC to proactive footpath maintenance, and the LNP survey confirms footpaths as a priority, and the council has recently demonstrated support for it, that we establish a working group to deliver this and appoint a councillor to lead the footpath in working group. So I think that's what the motion is, to establish a group and to be led by a councillor. And then the purpose of the group in the general sense is to protect and enhance our footpaths, particularly if you go up to a little bit further in. Up. No, you're too far now, sorry. It will liaise with landowners and remind them of their statutory responsibilities, because we're not doing any of that at the moment. Next bit in. Coordinate with PRO, support community involvement, including volunteer groups, and then there were the funding and the network assurance. But that's the motion for councillors to consider.
Jane, yeah, sorry. This all sounds very worthy, but I think the first thing is to establish who owns each footpath, because I don't think that we should be spending the villagers' money on privately owned footpaths where landowners have not maintained their own paths. I think that would, I find that quite difficult. Ian?
Yeah, I have a little bit of a problem with us trying to enforce or persuade landlords to enforce what is the legal obligation. Suffolk County Council have the authority. They should be, we can certainly alert them if we have complaints about footpaths, and that's been happening at the moment on the footpaths going up
past the bridge.
That's part of the project which Suffolk County Council has already.
I can say they've also written to Frogshall Road and asked them to trim the hedge back, but not until after the 1st of September.
Yeah, they also do some maintenance. They cut the public footpaths with a ride on mower, and if that's not happening, for instance, the town responds to Suffolk County Council and say, why has that been done? But they have a programme of maintenance. If there are any footbridges or anything like that, they have a responsibility to fix them. I think the footbridge on Firehouse Woods, that actually isn't the public right way, I don't think. That's a footbridge. Because I know that have we had involvement in repairing that?
No.
No, we didn't.
So when it washed away?
Yeah.
No, it wasn't our responsibility.
Who's the responsibility of that?
It was Suffolk.
And similarly, all of that we walk is the responsibility of Suffolk. Yeah. So if it's flooding or anything like that, it's their responsibility to clear it.
And the Lavenham Walk one, they tried to get the parish council to adopt that.
They did.
Was a big legal thing about a culvert.
Exactly. We couldn't adopt something which could end up having enormous expense to correct, and
And they certainly would support us taking on the maintenance. If we gave them encouragement, they would certainly be pushing us that way. As they have done with public toilets, Bayswick having public toilets, for example. Any opportunity, if they see that we'll take on the responsibility of retaining something they would be able to provide, we are in danger of them pushing us further in that direction. So I'm very nervous about us sticking our hands up saying, no, we'll look after you, we'll get people together to clear the public parcels.
But I mean, it's not one or the other, is it? Because it's their responsibility, financial, etc., and that's one thing. But there should be, I think, especially with some of these comments, we should be more visible as a parish council getting involved with things.
After mine.
But I mean,
I think mine is that the groups that were going around doing the cemetery, the edge of the pavement and all that, that is what I think we need to look at, and not our rural footpaths with landowners that we've got to. I don't think we should be confronting any landowner.
But don't they confront him?
Well, no, it's informing them of their statutory duties. Well, I don't think that's that. I don't think
agro,
I don't think that's our role. I think we can advise Suffolk County Council that a landowner is not maintaining their. I wouldn't want.
As indeed can any
resident.
Could I make a suggestion as a project? Because quite often things happen to somebody will say, well, this is not, the pathway is blocked, and people say, well, who does it belong to? And then nobody knows. But it might be a good project to get a list of all the pathways and then to find out exactly whose land it is or who's responsible for it. So at least if somebody does come to us and say, oh, pathways blocked, there's a fallen tree, whatever.
We'll give it a number.
We know exactly.
I'll take care of it. It's a problem.
There are, at the moment, there's at least there's one footpath that's closed by Suffolk County Council, and that's the one at the Bridge Street Road end at the Ladner Moor, where the footpath collapsed. Now, that is their responsibility, 100%. That is to say, if it isn't safe, then Suffolk County Council has to make it safe and close it. There was also a closure on the footpath a couple of years back at the bottom of Prentice Street, and you got over there, the footpath was closed further on there because the bank had subsided into the river. Again, that was entirely down to the landowner because of the river that had eroded the bank because of the collapse, that was closed. In the winter, there's been the closures of the footpath that goes around Bright Farm from Bridge Street down there. That was closed for a while due to mud. Again, there's a notice on there that's put by. And these are all things that actions that sort of county council take. And really, that is their responsibility. And for us to get money in, call it free, in that process is perhaps not a particularly good idea.
It would be helpful, I think, to find out who is responsible for each of these footpaths. And then at least if somebody has a complaint, we can point them in the right direction. Or
Yeah, no, I think that's right. That we know what to do. We put the potholes as a pothole reporting stuff, but I'm not so clear about how you report unsafe footpaths or there's plans or it's too muddy. I would say there were two of the users. They're used by landowners and things as a wild, what they call them.
We could certainly publicise how to report to Pro. Because if what happens, because actually, because I think we all know that what happens, if someone reports it to Pro A find out whether there's actually there's any validity to this complaint or not, and they will have all the appropriate links to the land registry to find out who owns it, and then they've got the right to write to the landowner a letter, which I think. And the landowner can rage all they like about Suffolk County Council for sending the letter, but that's different to getting a letter from the chair or the clerk of the parish council. You go stand outside their house and say, what's it got to do with you, mate? Which freaks the life out of me.
Yeah, the use of some of these roads off-road in the middle of winter, when it shows up in the normal shot, which was, it had been happening, and some of the parts get destroyed. And they've been closed in the winter, and that is the responsibility of the Welsh Waiters. It's not parish councils.
Yeah, we can't boil on the sweet and hardcore.
I've been around all the footpaths in the area over the years, and some have. There are a number that have been closed by the orders of the state of the mayor. And there's one at the moment on the far left.
Okay, do you
want to
read out the motion again?
The motion was, Ian, if you could just show me the motion, that we establish a working group to lead on safeguarding, maintaining and improving the network of public footpaths and bridleways in around Lavenham, and appoint a councillor to lead the independent working group. That's the motion. Do you want to see what you have a proposer?
Do I have a proposer?
I might have changed the motion to make it safer for us, if that's possible.
We can put up a motion to amend it first, yeah?
Yeah. Where we say Lavenham Parish forms a working group to lead on safeguarding, maintaining and improving the network, could we not change that to on safeguarding and trimming hedgerows, and just like trimming them to hedgerows where we wouldn't have any responsibility for it, and like we sort of did on the paths or anything, just to do the greenery and keep the path
clear. What exactly would the revised wording be?
Where we lead on safeguarding and maintaining by the means of trimming the growth and making it accessible by the then we're not maintaining it and we're not taking any responsibility for it.
To lead on safeguarding, maintaining, you did have the word meant.
And trimming bushes and things to make it safe to walk in. I think that's all the motion is going to do. I don't think we want to do any structural work to this. We don't have to know.
Then lost.
I look for a different amendment.
Okay.
We have two amendments. Was it Lavenham Parish Council?
Also, folks, if we carry on for more than the next 6 minutes, we won't then talk. We won't then give the Allotments Association their money unless we have, and that will grind to a halt unless we extend the meeting.
Okay.
Thank you. My amendment will be in the established process for reporting and ensuring the maintenance of footpaths is
advertised.
We advertise a process for
the advertise the process for support the reporting issues and
advertise the process for the reporting issues.
Improvements to the
pro.
Public pro, yes.
The reporting issues and suggesting improvements to pro.
Yes. That could be from parish councillors or it could be from London.
Yeah, we advertise the process for reporting issues and suggesting improvements to PATS, to pro.
Yes.
That's your. Okay, so we've got now 5 minutes. So you proposing it?
Yeah, I'm proposing it.
Who's second to it, if anyone?
Well, I'm going to do the amendments in turn.
No, I'll withdraw mine.
You withdraw yours.
Yeah.
Okay.
Have we got a proposal in a second?
So the motion is to change it to advertise a process for reporting issues and suggesting improvements to footpaths to pro. That we advertise how people do that. That's the motion.
Has that been proposed and
seconded? It hasn't got a second yet.
I'll second it.
JM? Is it going to pass?
Abstain.
Abstain.
Yes.
That's two yeses.
Oh, you can't vote, can you?
Do you want to vote? Sorry, it's two, so you've done. So yes, I will advertise the process as to how it's done. That's what the motion was amended to. Right. We have two minutes.
Right, quick.
Ian. Allotments.
Yes. Allotments.
Allotments.
We may run over a couple of minutes.
Chris, do you mind?
Sorry.
I don't stay, do I?
No, no. We will not discuss anything else after this. No, we won't.
No.
It's actually very straightforward, and frankly, we don't have many options.
What time do you think the meeting is going to
end? Is it
21:17?
I'm short sighted. I thought it said 21:27. I'm really sorry.
I thought you were going to be a bit
carried. Get it, Andrew.
I'm short sighted. I've been looking at that clock in that corner.
Very small clock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, so we have got time to discuss a lot of stuff.
I haven't even
know what time.
Oh, just relax, everybody.
Right. Not that long, I mean, come on now.
Ian, could you go to the front page?
Can we do it then, really quickly?
Okay. You've got questions.
So, I have got 10 minutes now.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that they've got to slur your words.
Doesn't.
Come on.
Right. In February, we said that I was to go away, work with local solicitors, come back with documents for you all to consider, and I was allowed £1,500 in legal costs. I've been off to see our solicitors. They've written back to me saying this is what needs to be done, and they have then said, Ian, if you roll down a little bit further, that the legal costs are likely to be between £3,000 and £4,000. And this fee estimate does not include work relating to the management agreement, which is all because we were unable to, we can't get the allotments association to lease the land directly from the builder because they, the developer, because they didn't incorporate.
Personally, I think the £3,000 and £2,500 that we imprinted and said we would loan them, or gift them, or whatever it was, for 12 allotments is absolutely ridiculous and tremendous waste of public money.
Yeah, I think given the level of legal fees, we may need to reconsider the level of donation.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be fair if there's lots of allotments there. But, I mean, they've got over £6,000 in their bank account now. They want to put proper concrete bases for ships. I reckon they're getting a hell of a trouble trying to put a concrete base beside a river for a start. But why do you supply everybody with the wooden ship?
And remember, in principle, was quite carefully chosen.
Yeah, I know.
Yes, that was a careful choice of words here, folks.
Yes.
Right?
I know you did it so that we get back out of there.
You're not stupid, you know.
Yeah, I think to do something like this, you've got to get the wording right, and it's got to be legal outside of it. So I think we have to spend that money. We don't necessarily have to spend as much as legal money. That's my thought.
I still think £3,000 to 12 allotments is a normal lot of money. At the end of the day, it's a bit of money.
And 12 people benefit.
Yeah, it's not as if it's a major. No, 30 or 40 allotments, it might be a bit different, but just the 12 allotments, it seems, and it's only my opinion, it just seems an awful lot.
No, I hear what you're saying, and you'll remember, Michael, that the allotments, the council's responsibility to provide them is quite different to everything else, you know.
Mm.
You know all this stuff, that you have a legal responsibility to provide allotments unless the cost becomes ridiculous. Mm. Now you could argue this is ridiculous, but that's more designed for central London where, you know, plot of 12 up is £1 million.
I think the point here is that there's no cost of buying the land. If you had to buy land in order to put up allotments, then you would have had some sort of conveyancing fees, which could easily be £2,000 or £3,000. And the cost of the land as well. So,
I said, you would expect that if my mum was a man, we'd have been a debt. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of ifs and buts and buts, and we're still looking at £4,000 approximately, which, well, I don't think we've got. Because they're funds a lot.
Well, we've just made a bit of a saving.
Sorry?
We've just made a bit of a saving. Because we're not doing a big gate down on Brentley Road that we had thought about doing.
I think
as we're custodians of Latin parish residents' money, I just think that is a token of public money. We could do far better than £4,000 owned. Why don't just these people take these allotments on and get fed up with them? Trust me. But don't stick to the allotments very long. There might be one season and suddenly we've got this land overgrown and we've got to maintain it.
I can't see us condemning the shovels to do it.
Right, so these are community allotments, obviously they're not a private enterprise. And we have the land for 890 whatever it is years.
Oh, you think that's the truth? It's not just this generation.
No.
The next generation.
And so if we're going to make an agreement, what we don't want to do is to make rash decisions that have been made in the past and it comes back to bite us on the bottom later on. So we've got to make sure we get this dead right for future residents of Lavenham and for future parish councils. So I think from a legal point, you know, for legal things actually that's not that bad, and I think it's necessary. It, I don't like spending money on legal fees, nobody does. I think it's being forward thinking, I think we should spend money.
But I do agree that we should reconsider the grass and the cotton.
Absolutely, I agree with Michael on that.
I think what Michael's saying there is
we've got to cut our cloth too. Yeah.
Exactly.
If we reject our unconditional grant
in principle grant,
we do take that possibly 4,000, and that doesn't matter, we come back in. We don't take it down to 1,500.
Well, there will always going to be some sort of legal fees. Yeah, because you have to get the there would always have to be some sort of
But we could, if we took that money, if we were to take that and not give that money, we could take that down to maximum of between 500 and 1,500 pounds, which is less than what we offer to give them.
There is also the grant system that they may possibly be able to apply through our £6,000 grant for some funding. No, the £600 grant that we've set aside that people can apply, £6,000 that people can apply for, that we're going to emphasise.
So they
could apply to that grant system for some assistance, couldn't they?
Can you remind us what the motion is, please?
It's just on, to a maximum of five thousand. So no, it's going to cost £3,000 to £4,000, and I know there are going to be disbursements on top.
I mean, I don't think we've got any choice.
Well,
I'll second it.
So the proposal was Ian. The second was Janice.
We respect the voting vote, and this will happen to anybody here to retract the provisional offer of £2,500.
So,
no money.
I don't think we need to. So,
because that was only in principle.
Now, clearly, we would talk to them about it. So I'm not, I'm not the decision maker, but clearly, right. Council could go along to approach the group and say, look, the legal costs really were a lot of money, right? Sorry.
You know what, I think you should then put that in your minutes, that is what you discussed, because I think it's certainly why we should consider that.
I'm happy to put in my minutes that council may revisit the...
Maybe we should be effectively in the Lockings Society, and then I know every one of them. I think they're doing a marvellous job. I just don't think we can justify spending that sort of money of the public money. If it was our money, we would spend it, we would have money, we'd pay everything, we'd have to get that building down somehow. I'll say without removing the £2,500, I don't think it's even feasible.
And remember, if we don't pay this, the whole thing collapses. Yeah. Then that goes into a huge thing.
The £2,500.
If we don't pay these legal fees,
I don't think we can have a motion on that without something being mentioned in that motion that we are not going to buy.
Okay, so I didn't put in this motion. You could amend it to say, and that grant of £2,500 is rumped, right?
Yeah.
Or we could just minute it, since we're not committed to the grant anyway, that councillors have a variety or similar.
I mean, you're not going to renege on that in 2 days' time or something.
No, but the size of that was to be reconsidered.
Yes. May need to be reconsidered.
So the decision will be communicated through.
Yes, possible.
I
was lucky then, wasn't I, Ian? So the proposer was Ian, the seconded was Janice.
I'll say yes.
And I'm yes, obviously.
Are you going to vote no or abstain?
No, I'm going to go for it.
You will vote for it? Okay. So it's unanimous. Okay.
Thank you very much. Vote for the next meeting is the 2nd of July. See you all then. Thank you very much, everyone.
Mr. Bowes.